WildTalkRadio.com.
Alright, it's been a long time since I've done this, but here we go. Welcome to Monday Night Raw. Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Monday Night Raw, he's here.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
He's here, isn't he?
He's everywhere. And I can hear him now. Let him in.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The Queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
To Fastlane is here. This was the go-home show. And we kind of got matches announced. Kind of. This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films. That would be at youtube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sorokin. That's Lindsay Ward.
I mean, we got matches announced. For Mania.
For Mania. They did a good job of telling us, hey guys, WrestleMania is in 30 days. You may not be able to get your tickets this week like promised, but we will give you matches. They will tell you all the matches. There was something about this show tonight that just sort of left you underwhelmed.
Oh, I can think of something.
Let's get that out of the way, shall we?
It's boots to asses
hey,
time.
Thanks for 20 months in a row.
Ding. All right. I don't like to rant. I don't like to demand.
Lies.
Publicly. But I have to be one of those fans for a moment. It's been 3 months. Where the fuck is he? And if you don't know who I'm talking about, then clearly you've never listened to this show before. So for 3 months, we have wondered and waited on Bray Wyatt. We have had the continued tease of Randy Orton and Alexa Bliss off and on, off and on, off and on, off and on. And it's been sort of dragging out as of late. Like, they keep waiting on something, they keep doing something, they keep doing these little moments between Randy and Alexa, and they were good for a little while, but now it just feels really cumbersome. And like, when is this going to happen? Because so far it feels like it's not going to happen. It's just there. And tonight was another example of another episode of Monday Night Raw, and oh hey, Bray Wyatt still didn't come back. I understand that they're saving it for a big moment, but you had Royal Rumble, you didn't do it then. You had Chamber, you didn't do it then. You're 30 days out, or less than 30 days out, I think, at this point from WrestleMania. When the fuck is he going to show up? Because I don't want this build to be 2 weeks, boom, Mania. You've drugged this out for 3 months, let's go. Seriously, let's go. If he does not show up Sunday, I'm going to be super pissed. I don't know what I'm going to do, probably nothing, but this just left a really, really bad taste in my mouth. I will say that there was like one nice reference in it.
So what happened on the show was Lex Bliss was backstage on her swing, and she said if Randy wants her out of his life, he will have his chance this Sunday at Fastlane to kick her out of his life. But will he take her up on this chance? So Randy was then interviewed later in the show, and Randy caught on to the word kick her out of his life. Well, that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Referencing the original sin.
So, will Alexa get punted and then Huskus returns?
I don't know. I don't know if they will go that far. I'm curious to see what they do with it. I did like the reference to the punt, the original punt, which is the origin story of Bray Wyatt. It looks like, and it feels like, and it sounds like they are going to go there with it, that they are finally going to tie in some way, shape, or form Husky Harris to Bray Wyatt. They've done it informally, like Bray has referenced it in the Funhouse, but they've never like come out and connected the two, like formally. So it seems like that's where they're going with it. It could be that Randy's going to go for the pun on Sunday, and that's when Bray appears in like a ball of fire, or he just appears to save Alexa.
We'll talk about this more Thursday when we fully preview, but there's layers. While it may not be the most thrilling story, it may not be the most progressive story they're doing, everything they've done has layers, which is good. They're telling a story with layers. That's the positive on it.
It's taking a long time.
Just taking too long. Yeah.
Yeah. And like I said, I love the story. I love what they're doing with it. I love that you're having Alexa fill Bray's shoes while he's out so you can build to this really grand return. It's just 3 months is a really long time to sell it. I understand why they didn't do it at Rumble. It was a little too soon, so they held it off. You had a moment at Chamber. You could have done it. They didn't do it for whatever reason. And now here we are at Fastlane, where they've been continuing to build it and continuing to build it. And I get it. They don't want to peak it too soon. But I think for me, whatever it's going to be, and I think this is a lot of people, we need more of a sign. We need something, whether it's a smoldering jacket appearing, whether it's... And we don't know what they're going to do, because it's Bray, right? And Bray does whatever the hell he wants, and it's going to be whatever it's going to be. It's going to be fucked up, and it's going to be crazy, and probably everybody will love it. Because it will be something completely out of the box, very similar to what The Fiend was. Where nobody saw it coming, nobody expected him to do that, and that's why it took the business by storm, was it was so different from anything else that everybody was doing that nobody could compete with it. This will be probably just something very, very similar, because that's just who Bray is as a person, is he just can come up with this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Creative genius, I think, has been thrown around in his case, and I would not disagree with that at all. But yeah. This kind of left a sour taste in my mouth, I'm not going to lie. I kind of checked out after this happened, because it's like, God damn it, it's another week, and I have to wait till Sunday. I'm so tired of this. And that's more what I'm tired of, is I'm just tired, because it's once a week, right? So 7 days, you have to wait 7 days to see if he's going to show up again. And after a while, you're like, why am I still watching this? Like, I'm going to be real. I missed Rock the Block for this, and I'm just a tad upset.
But there were other things that happened on the show, including the crowning of new WWE Raw Tag Team Champions.
I think the Hurt Business is getting ready to dissolve.
I think Retribution's going to dissolve before Hurt Business does. Woods and
it's a possibility.
Woods and Kingston beat Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander. It was a good match. And then they switched things up a little bit.
Yeah, they did.
So AJ Styles and Omos come out, and he congratulates them on a big win just in time for WrestleMania, and they don't have opponents. Almost recalls telling AJ they should be Raw Tag Team Champions, and AJ's like, yeah, it's his time to shine. Jaws will drop when people see what he's capable of by being Almost. Styles then issued a challenge for the Raw Tag Team titles at WrestleMania, and Kofi wondered, are you even a registered tag team? And does he know how to work? But Woods accepted the challenge for WrestleMania.
It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure I like it.
I think it'll be good.
I'm not sure I hate it either. Like, that's the thing. I'm curious to see what Omos can do, because from what I've heard, he can't really do a lot.
A lot. But here's the thing. It's WrestleMania. It's a spectacle. And what you need for WrestleMania, when you don't have other names on the show, you need new things. You need new spectacles. Omos is the new giant.
That's fair. And I mean, honestly, after last year for AJ, where he essentially retired The Undertaker, or he was a part of Undertaker's last match, you really sort of can't top that.
You really can't. I mean, he was throwing out challenges on interviews, but they never came to pass.
Poor Mark. Poor Mark. And I'm sure he saw them all, and he's like, God damn it.
I was also saying AJ also challenged Hunter, so, you know.
I mean, I would be here for AJ versus Hunter. I wouldn't mind that.
Matt Riddle retained his U.S. title over Mustafa Ali, and that didn't go over well.
Okay, So I just have to say that this sums up the Retribution angle perfectly. Retribution standing backstage, Mustafa Ali giving them a lecture, right? They're in broad daylight, right? There's no effort to like hide them or do anything special for them at this point. Matt Riddle, as Mustafa's giving the lecture, comes zipping by on a scooter, interrupting Mustafa Ali.
Yeah.
That sums that up perfectly. I respect what they're trying to do with Retribution, but at this point, the magic is gone. I'm so sorry. The bloom is quite off that rose. Can we just maybe move people on from that?
Hopefully we will.
Although, please let Dijak continue to be the sassy fucker that he's being, because him on Twitter is just wonderful.
I mean, it's okay.
He's just being a snarky bastard, and I love it.
So, Monday Night Raw opened with your WWE champion, Bobby Lashley. It's the online era, and they talk about everything. And it was announced that Lashley will fight Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania for the title. And I went, they could have done a match at Fastlane to determine the contender? But that's okay. Lashley said he destroyed McIntyre in the Elimination Chamber. He'll do so again at the remaining event of WrestleMania. Miz and Morrison came out.
Why did John Morrison look like a poodle?
No one knows. Miz said, I thought our rivalry was just getting started, and, you know, we could go on and have another WrestleMania classic. Hell yeah. They're marking, doing the awesome thing. Drew McIntyre came out, and he congratulated Bobby Lashley on winning the title. He didn't have a chance to formally, but now it was time, and they know that it took him 16 years, it took me 17, and they talked about how, you know, they've outworked each other in the gym, and, you know, how they both weren't in WWE, and now they're back, and all that fun stuff, and MVP tried talking, and he got shut down by McIntyre, and then Lashley said McIntyre should be worried about him, and then Miz goes, and me, and McIntyre, you were still here? Oh, okay, and then gave him an option to attack from behind, or run for his life. He said he has got to go to war with Sheamus at Fastlane, and then called Lashley a big, bald bitch, and he'll take back the title. MVP held back Lashley, Miz told McIntyre to come down, and then, well, Lashley attacked Drew, and Miz then attacked Drew to go to break. And also Sheamus then attacked Lashley as he was heading out. Okay. So they randomly say, hey, it's Miz and or Drew and Sheamus one more time at Fastlane. It's like, okay, cool. Not overly impressed. I mean, you could have said, hey, this Sunday, me and Sheamus are going to go to war and the winner will fight Lashley at WrestleMania. That would have drawn out some interest. But that's just me thinking out loud on how to make the storyline work.
I feel like this got really, really muddled along the way. And I think what kind of messed everything up was Fastlane. I'm going to be really, really honest about that. I understand why they're doing it. They're using it as the big premiere on Peacock. They have a whole plan, although when they... And because, like, here's my thing, right? And again, I get it. Because when they set the schedule for this year in terms of pay-per-views, they set it thinking that they were going to already have audiences back, that COVID was going to be over, that they were going to be up and running like always. And that's not an excuse, but it's like, that was clearly not the case. It's like, well, you could have cut Fastlane out, pushed Chamber back, and had longer between Rumble and Chamber, and then Chamber and Mania, and not necessarily had to worry about booking for Fastlane, because that's now what they're having to do, because they can't just do the WrestleMania matches that they want to do on Fastlane, because they're saving them for Mania, so you just can't do Drew versus Lashley. Oh, no, we can't do that, so we have to do Drew and Sheamus one more time, even though they're both multi-time champions, they both technically don't really qualify for a title shot.
But they could have done a number one contenders match. That's the point. It's a very easy stipulation. 6 days of announcing Drew and Lashley, it wouldn't have mattered. They could have added something to the show. And that's the disappointing part.
I don't think they're exactly concerned with doing that.
No, they're not. Clearly, they're not. But it was something very simple, very easy they could have done, and they didn't do it. Instead, hey, yeah, he's getting the title match. Yeah, I know he's a former champion, but it's like, make him earn it a little bit. I don't know. Just felt deflating and underwhelming.
This again is where Chamber's really, really useful, where you don't have the champion in it. You use Chamber as a way to determine the number one contender for the title going into Mania. That's how it's traditionally used. They didn't do that this year, which is fine. But they kind of, I think, wrote themselves into a pickle, because it's like, okay, well, we know Edge is going for Roman. So how are you going to set up the person to go for the Raw title at Mania? And the answer is it's excessively convoluted.
Drew McIntyre beat The Miz via the Hurt Lock, sending a message to Bobby Lashley. So there was that. We were wandering around backstage. We had R-Truth. He met up with Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose and Naomi and Lana, and he was doing a Steve Austin impression. He would then find Bad Bunny later, still doing his impression, and he offered Bad Bunny a deal. This belt for that belt. So Bad Bunny turned over the 24/7 title and gave him the Steve Austin replica title. Not the one that's on shop right now, the original one. And Truth is now the champion, and he got chased off.
I think it's a clever way to hand off the title. We now know what the 24/7 title is worth, which is a replica Steve Austin belt with lunchbox Steve Austin, and then a Steve Austin plushie. So we can put whatever monetary value those equate to on it. But yeah, that's what it's worth at this point.
Damian Priest beat Jackson Riker, and then Elias attacked Damian. Bad Bunny tried to make the save. He hit a couple punches, as he did after that. Morrison came out with distraction. Miz slammed the guitar in the back of Bad Bunny.
Which I think it was supposed to break, and it didn't break.
No, it didn't break.
Yeah. And so I think Bad Bunny has a boo-boo. But, I mean, it was impressive that he threw the punch. It's like, okay, all right, I see you.
Yeah, it was good, it was fine. So we mentioned the girls. Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke beat Naomi and Lana. A little bit of a throwaway match.
It was there. It was a thing.
Asuka cleared to return to action, beat Shayna Baszler in about 90 seconds.
Poor Shayna, the mighty have fallen.
Shayna then had put in the Carafuta clutch and Asuka got out of it. They had a fight. Asuka took out Baszler's mouth guard and then tried to ram her head into the exposed turnbuckle. And she was going to kick her in the face, but the referee stopped it. So there was that.
It was a good little segment.
The Rumble, Ash. The Rumble. So, it's fine. One of them's fighting for the title against Sasha on Friday. I forget which one. But that should be interesting. We also had on the show Shane McMahon. Braun Strowman called out Shane McMahon. And Sherman's like, I've always been bully guys like you, Shane. Shane said he would never make fun of another human being. He said to McMahon, Sherman said to McMahon, don't apologize for anything, but you apologize. You also stumbled over your words last week because you were afraid that your mouth was going to write a check your ass couldn't cash. And Sherman said, Shane was afraid of what he could do to him. Sherman said he knows Shane wants a match with him, but doesn't have the balls to say it. Sherman said he'll make it easy and called for a match against Shane tonight. Shane said Sherman couldn't handle him, and now he knows he's stupid, and then rattled on and on, and then called a match for Brains versus Braun, and that's happened tonight. So they had this match.
Anyway, I mean, if you want to call it that.
I wouldn't even call it a match. It was a fight. So Shane McMahon comes out, and he needs a little warm-up, so he's playing hopscotch. This would help Strowman learn how to count. Strowman then chased Shane around the ring. Strowman then caught Shane and rammed him into the barricade and was going to do it again, but Shane grabbed the cameraman and grabbed the camera from the cameraman and nailed Strowman in the head with it. Shane then worked over him and put him up on the announce table a couple times with the camera shot. And you know it's WrestleMania season now when Shane goes to the top rope and drives an elbow through the heart of Braun Strowman through that table, by God.
But we don't get Wrestling Santa anymore, so we have to get this now.
We get the Shane elbow.
We get the Shane elbow. That is the new indicator that WrestleMania season is here.
So the world loved it back in January. Everyone went nuts for the Nickelodeon game of the NFL. Everyone loved the slime cannons, right? Everyone loved it. Shane dumps slime on the Braun Strowman. Everyone's like, this sucks.
Because I think there was no context for it.
I know, but he's trying to embarrass him. That's the context. He's trying to embarrass Braun Strowman.
There are other ways to embarrass Braun Strowman than dumping leftover Nickelodeon green slime from Universal Studios on a Braun Strowman. Like, I'm sorry, but like, did Bad Bunny bring it with him when he went to the Grammys or something like that? Did he go pick it up?
I don't know, but it's like, it wasn't the worst thing they've ever done.
It wasn't the worst thing that they've ever done, but I wish there had been a little bit more context to it, or they hadn't done like the trademark green Nickelodeon slime. Like, slime is okay, but it was the green, lime green slime.
I mean, for
which
Saint
is synonymous with Nickelodeon.
For St. Patrick's Day.
Or Nickelodeon. Like, I just feel like there could have been a little bit more forethought or a little bit more setup, you know, whether it was Strowman was involved in the Kids' Choice Awards, which happened recently, or Shane was involved or something like that, or WWE was involved, which they might have been.
I don't know. I think they just announced the nominees or something. Anyway, they're going to have a match on Sunday, apparently.
Yay.
Which will probably turn into some other angle that will lead to WrestleMania.
Probably.
Your main event was Bobby Lashley and Sheamus, one-on-one, non-title match. It was fine. It was there.
They beat the crap out of each other.
They did. It was good. Lashley got the win after the spear and then put him in the Hurt Lock. Drew got in the ring. Then Sheamus bumped in the MVP and everyone started fighting. And then McIntyre and Sheamus were you know, jawjacking. And then McIntyre dropped Lashley with the Claymore. I mean, it was there. It was fine.
It wasn't.
It was a go-home. I guess that's the best way to put it. It was a go-home.
This was not my favorite show that they've ever done for a variety of reasons, but this show just felt like it had a lot of drag to it. There was a lot of stuff that just didn't make sense in certain applications, and you can tell that they realized, oh shit, we only announced like 3 matches for Fastlane. We need to announce everything else. And oh yeah, by the way, we're 30 days out from Mania, so we should probably start looking at setting that up. And that's what they started doing tonight, which is fine, but they like hit the gas pedal on some of the Mania matches to set them because they're like, we want them out of the way. Like the Miz and Morrison stuff with Bad Bunny and Damian Priest, that got set up. The match with Drew and Bobby got set up. Like they're like, okay, oh my God, we have to do it. We have to do the thing. It's here. Boom. There was no like flow to it. It was just very sudden, which I guess is okay. But this show just kind of drug for me. And then of course there was the fact that I checked out in the entire third hour because I just genuinely was really very disappointed and a little pissed.
She was pissed.
Because again, it's when. If it doesn't happen Sunday, when y'all gonna do this? Because I'm gonna say this right now and I'll say it again on Thursday. If it doesn't happen Sunday, if he does not show up at Fastlane, I'm done with the storyline. I'm out.
Can you give it till at least Monday?
No.
Okay.
I've waited since December and I don't want to be that fan, but I'm gonna be that fan. I've waited since they set his ass on fire at TLC. So almost 3 months for him to make the comeback, for them to pull the trigger on this, because this is the epic build to this story. This is the finale, as it will, of the revenge plot for The Fiend, which is Randy Orton, who has caused the most strife in Bray Wyatt's lives, and is the reason that Bray Wyatt is even among us right now, kind of.
Because he's very sus.
He's very sus. Always. This is the epic conclusion to that. And for now, until they go do it again, because these two are going to feud throughout Randy's career until he retires. But Bray's finally looking at getting his revenge. We're looking at getting a funhouse match and all the stories that they can tell there with that. And it's just dragging and dragging and dragging. And I understand that the original plan was not supposed to go to WrestleMania, and then they decided to take it to WrestleMania. But it's like just Sunday. If it does not happen Sunday, I'm sorry, I'm out. I can only do so much. I can only wait so long, and I'm honestly tired of waiting.
So that's the post show, everybody. Hey, chat. Did you know you can use supporter code ROCKETSOCK in the Fortnite item shop like tomorrow morning when the new season drops, Chapter 2, Season 6? We're #EpicPartner. You can use that code in the item shop when you buy your battle passes and stuff. Did you know this? Now you do. It's on your screen. You can do the thing. We're excited for Fortnite.
New season. It's coming. Tomorrow. I'm streaming. Maybe. Yes, I'm streaming, but I don't know what time yet. So just watch for notifications. I'm going to try to get up early at 7 to be on by 7:30, but we'll see if I actually make it. Might be closer to 8.
And where can they find you?
Twitch.tv/LensWard. Same as the Twitter.
Thursday we'll preview Fastlane on the Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, midnight edition, and others at CBRCRLive.com, GrandTheGreatDebate.com. Russell Talk Radio will return to review Fastlane on Sunday. We'll be back next Monday for a Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern, at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Go ahead.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias at LensWard, LANSWRD.
Hey, chat, remember, if you have Amazon Prime, you can link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming, and you can support the channel by clicking that purple rectangle button below the screen. Make sure you tune in to Lindsay tomorrow morning around 7:30, 7:45, 8 o'clock a.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/LensWard. If you cannot make it live, catch the video on demand, a.k.a. the VOD, or go to youtube.com/RockRadioShow. Will probably be on there at some point during the day as well, so you can catch all the content as she goes through the battle pass and all the new changes to the map and all that fun stuff, so you can check that out. We'll see you Thursday night for The Rock. And right back here for the Raw Post Show presented by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Next Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. Along the airways at a Wild Talk Radio Network. Streaming live right here at twitch.tv/WTRLive.
WildTalkRadio.com.